Welcome back to Aliyah Yomi. Today we are going to be learning Shlach Shlishi, the third Aliyah in Parshas Shlach. The focus of our learning today is Hashem's judgment on the Meraglim and Moshe's response. In overview, our Aliyah is 18 psukim long, running from Perek Yudalad Pasuk Ches to Pasuk Chof Hey. As a basic summary of the Aliyah, before we look at some points to focus on, we hear about the last argument of Yehoshua and Kalev. That was where we left off last Aliyah. We ended in the middle of a positive element of the story. And they go on to say that if Hashem wants us to, then Hashem will bring us into this land flowing with milk and honey. They just beg the people, don't rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't fear the people of the land, rather they are our food. Lachmenu. And their shadow, the people of the land's shadow has disappeared. Hashem is with us. Don't fear them. However, this claim and their begging falls upon deaf ears, and the people want to stone the leaders of Israel. I mean, that's how far it goes. Get the mob into a mood, and they'll do anything. At which point, the glory of Hashem now intercedes and arrives at the Mishkan. Hashem now responds, and he turns to Moshe and says, until how long will these people continue to curse me? Despite all the signs, all the omens that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed them, Hashem says, I'm going to destroy them with a pestilence, with a plague, and make Moshe into a greater nation, thereby fulfilling the covenant he made with the forefathers through Moshe Rabbeinu, because nobody else is worth it. Everybody else is crying against him. Moshe Rabbeinu at this point in time protests, and he points out that the conclusion that the other nations will draw is they're going to say that Hashem was too weak to bring them into the land of Egypt. Maybe he could have got them out of Egypt, but he can't get them into the land of Canaan, and that's why he did this. So Moshe Rabbeinu begs, Yigdal Nakoach Hashem, let the strength of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the power of Hashem, be seen, and he quotes some of the 13 Midos HaRachmim, the attributes of mercy that Hashem has taught him, and he begs that Hashem forgives his sin. Our Aliyah ends with Hashem's response, where Hashem says, Solachti Kidvorecha, I will give atonement like you have asked, but he then says an oath, he makes an oath that all the people who saw the miracles of Hashem yet complained 10 times, those people will not see the land of Canaan. Except Kalev, who has another spirit, Kiruach Acheres, he has another spirit in him, and he will inherit the land which he reached. And finally, the Aliyah concludes with the fact that the Amalekim and the Canaanim are in the valley, and Hashem tells the people to walk back to the desert, where almost like a sign that the land is being guarded and is impenetrable at this point in time. That's a summary of the Aliyah, that's an overview. Let's consider a few basic points. Number one is the description of the people of the land in the words of Yehoshua and Kalev is fascinating. Sar Tzilam Me'alehem. Their shadow has disappeared. Lachmenuhem, they are our bread. Why is that? What's going on over here? So the Haim Ekdava points out that the metaphor used to describe military success over here is eating them, is that they're bread. That's very fascinating because in both of those activities, both in the pursuit of parnasa, of livelihood, and in the idea of fighting wars, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hashkocha pratis, his specific divine providence can be seen, depending on the level of the person who is working, who is asking for it. So what's being said over here is if we have the right zechus, if we have the right work done in our lives, we will win this battle like we have the zechus for parnasa, depending on the level that we are in as well. The Ramban and Rabbeinu Bechaya quote a fascinating perspective, and that is that there is a notion, and this is actually the Shulchan Aruch references this even, is that on the Leil HaChosam, the night of the conclusion, of the signing, which refers to Hoshana Rabbah, then on that night, which is the 26th to the creation of the world, which is on the 25th of Elul, on that day is that a person who is slated for death will not see a shadow that evening to the light of the moon. Now, what does that mean? This is because Sarat Silam Me'alehem, based on this pasuk over here, that if a person is dead, walking dead essentially, they no longer have a shadow. What does that mean? So Rabbeinu Bechaya explains, the reason why every object has a shadow in the light of the sun or the moon is for the fact that every object in this world, whether it be a organic, inorganic material, whether it be alive, whether it be inanimate, occupies a certain amount of space, and no object can occupy the space that another object occupies, which is why when light is shone onto it, it projects a shadow because it shows that it occupies space. When something is no longer worthy of being here anymore, it no longer throws a shadow because it no longer is prided. It no longer has the possibility of occupying that space, which is why on the night of the Leil HaChosam, that's why the shadow disappears. That's based on this pasuk over here, and what essentially Yehoshua and Kalev are saying is they no longer have shadows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has removed their essential being and essence, which is why there's no longer a shadow. Very shocking description over here. Then Moshe Rabbeinu uses this powerful language, Yigdal na koach Hashem, that the strength of HaKadosh Baruch Hu be elevated. What does this mean? The Rashbam says it is greater power to withhold destruction than to show destruction. That's what he's saying to him. The Gemara in Sanhedrin on Kuf Yud Aleph tells us a fascinating, or Kuf Yud Aleph Beis tells us a fascinating description that when Moshe Rabbeinu first came up to Shemaim, he turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he found HaKadosh Baruch Hu said was writing Erech HaPaim, slow to anger. He says to Hashem, Master of the Universe, Ribono Shel Olam, Erech HaPaim Ratzadikim, Amar Lo Avra Rishayim. So does it apply to evil people as well? Slow to anger, and Hashem says it does. Moshe Rabbeinu said, surely the evil people should be destroyed. So Hashem says, just wait, you'll need to ask this from me. Now Moshe Rabbeinu has the episode of the Meraglim, and he says, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even for the Rishayim, show the slowness to anger. And that's why it's Yigdal Ata. Now Moshe Rabbeinu is able to understand, Yigdal Nakoach Hashem, Hashem, please use that potential that you had to protect them. The Baal HaTorim points out that if you look in the Sefer Torah itself, the word Yigdal is spelled with a large Yud, and that's to remind HaKadosh Baruch Hu of the 10 Nisyonos, the 10 trials that Avraham Avinu overcame, and therefore are inherently Bekoach in the potential of Bnei Yisrael, which Hashem should elevate as well. It's also worthwhile noting that Chof Ches, Koach, is a very important word, and 28 is the number of the letters in Kaddish. Every time we say Kaddish, we're trying to elevate the expression of Hashem's power and honor in this world, which is an important part of bringing Hashem's presence into this world, which is Moshe, what Moshe is asking Hashem to do. Why is Moshe not using all the 13 attributes of Hashem? He only uses the six of the 13 attributes of Rachamim, which he learned at Har Sinai. So Rabbeinu Bachai points out that he had to leave some out. For example, he had to leave out Emes, truth, because truth is not a good attribute to be begging for right now, because truthfully, they don't deserve to survive. Also, bringing in Zechus Avos, which is one of the attributes, the merit of the forefathers, is not a good thing right now, because they have now just essentially forgotten the land where their forefathers are buried. Obviously, it doesn't mean all that much to them. What are the 10 times, another question, what are the 10 times that Hashem says they tested Hashem, or they complained against Hashem? So the Gemara in Erechin goes on to explain on Daf Tesvav and Beis that there are two by the sea. That's before they went into the Kriyas Yamsuf. They said, are there not enough graves in Egypt? And when they were ascending from the sea, there was equivocating whether they deserved to leave the sea. There were two with water, one Marah and one Rephidim, where they complained about water. There were two with the man. That's by leaving over the man, and those who went out to on Shabbos to find the man. There were two with Slav. That's in Parshas B'Shalach, where they complain about meat, and then in Parshas B'Halosch, which we learned recently, where they complain about meat, one of the Egel, one in Midbar Paron, which refers to the Meraglim. Those are the 10 times they tested HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Mishnah in Erechin draws a fascinating conclusion, that is that all those actions were bad actions, but when is their gzar din closed upon them? When does Hashem want to destroy them? When they spoke Lashon Hara, to show you how terrible and how negative evil speech is. One last question that Zaliyah is, why is it that Kalev is mentioned that he'll be saved and not Yehoshua? Yehoshua does get saved, so the Ramban explains it's because Yehoshua's role will be in replacing Moshe. Hashem did not feel it's appropriate to mention that right now, but yes, of course Yehoshua would be saved. Additionally, the Ibn Ezra points out that it's not just Kalev and it's not just Yehoshua, but it's the whole tribe of Levi that were not part of this description and destruction, because Levi did not send a Meragel and therefore was not part of this whole episode as well. With this, we conclude the Aliyah. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.